Let's now draw near to our God in prayer. Almighty God and Father, we praise you this morning for the God who has revealed himself. It's Yahweh Jireh, the Lord who provides. Father, we are humbled as we consider every way in which that is true, every way in which you are the God who provides. We are in awe and humbled as we consider the moment of that revelation as Abraham seeks a sacrifice that would be pleasing to you. I'm coming to know that it is you who provide a ram in the bush so that Isaac may be spared. That has always been your provision. Above all, that sacrifice that would wash us, cleanse us, grant us forgiveness for all of the ways in which we have broken your law. And that it wouldn't be just a ram, but that it would be your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that there is now that way, our way to worship you through him. And yes, that your word assures us that you who have not even spared your only begotten Son, how much more will you now also give us all things, that in every way you become the provider, giving us every spiritual blessing in Christ. And so, Father, open up our eyes to see every blessing that you give us. May we experience them all. And may it cause us to give thanks to you. Our Father, besides granting us a way for our sins to be forgiven, besides giving us spiritual blessings, you also bless us in so many other ways each week again, providing for us materially food and drink, shelter, steady income, health and strength. Yes, even with your presence and protection, you give us also all that we need, not just for our souls, but also for our bodies. And we thank you that it comes in such undeserved richness. And so, Father, we humble ourselves before you this morning and give you all the praise and thanksgiving. And so also, as we now turn to your word, would you bless us once again? Would you grant your Spirit and your Word to be our guide and the light upon our path? And would you through your Word and Spirit grant us then exactly what we need, so that we may find even more so for ourselves today that you truly are the Lord, the one who provides. And we ask you all of this in your provision, in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, in light of Thanksgiving, we're breaking up our series on Elijah to turn to this theme of Thanksgiving in the letter to the Colossians. And we'll first turn to the beginning of the letter, for in two different ways Thanksgiving is mentioned in verses 3 through 14. First, Paul's own thanksgiving, and then his prayer that the Colossians may be thankful. And then from there, we'll then turn also for our text to the end, or near the end of the letter, for that theme of thanksgiving again. It pops up a number of different times in Colossians. So Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so that is our introduction then to this letter to the Colossians. Let's now continue to sing and give thanks to God above all, for his steadfast love is sure, it shall evermore endure. That refrain of Psalm 136, we'll sing stanzas 1, 2, 12, and 13. This morning our text comes from Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. One verse there as Paul gets into further instruction, but then also continues to kind of summarize a number of the major themes that you find in this letter. So Colossians 4, verse 2, we read the following word of God. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And so that's what we'll then look at this morning. Dearly loved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever found yourself reviewing the events of a day, maybe in your mind, maybe while talking to someone, and then all of a sudden it dawned on you that you didn't recognize an incredible kindness or goodness that someone showed you in that particular moment? It could even be that you were sharing this story with someone and you're going along, getting to the point you wanted to make, and someone interrupts you. It's like, wow, that was incredible. They did that for you? And you're almost like taken aback. It's like, wait, I hadn't really thought about it that way. Just took it for granted. Mind was busy with other things. Didn't stop to think about it. Actually, that was an incredible kind thing to do. Sure enough, maybe there is some excuse. Your day was going terribly. Your mind was on other things. The bottom line is that you didn't recognize it. And so also you didn't show any thankfulness. You didn't show any gratitude. Every time, come to this time of year, we may recognize that we probably aren't as thankful as we should be. And yet we probably only think that because we know that there's many things that we did recognize as good things, and also didn't give thanks for. But then when we're once in a while reminded that sometimes we don't even recognize the kindness and the goodness that happens to us, we realize that our problem is much worse than just not being thankful for those things that we've received. Maybe that's a good starting point for us this morning. It helps us to realize and acknowledge that Thanksgiving also requires some kind of focus, attention. And I think we find that also in our passage, in these verses this morning, which is why I also start at, or begin with this theme that Thanksgiving keeps you watchful, focused, and aware in prayer. Now, this verse that we're focusing on this morning, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, is actually translated just a bit differently in many translations. So if you did come and you brought your own Bible and you have a different translation, you may have noticed some difference here. This would be one of those cases where the NIV kind of just smoothened things out. But doing so does it for a reason, but it does then also get rid of some of the internal logic of this verse. More literal translations, like the ESV, would have something like, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it, in prayer, with thanksgiving. It's not just two separate things that you do, being watchful and giving thanks, but they are inherently connected in some way with thanksgiving. Difficulty is the Greek, this is one of those cases where the Greek is a bit ambiguous, it's not always very clear. And even very much in the Greek, it would be watchful in it, in thanksgiving. And the question is, you know, what does that preposition in mean? Is it by? Is it with thanksgiving? Is it by thanksgiving? Is it with or in thanksgiving? What does it actually mean? It's probably also why then the NIV smoothens it out, makes them equal, saying, like, think about both these concepts, being watchful and thankful, leaving us in some ways to determine how they connect, how they go together. And that's basically our main question this morning. How do they go together? Being watchful and being thankful. Well, let's first just consider what being watchful means. For being watchful, think of a guard that has to stay awake on his job. That's the kind of connotation of this verb, to stay awake, being alert, being ready. And more often, this language is applied to Christians because we have to be ready for Christ's return. And because we know it's coming in the future, it's like you have to stay awake, be prepared, be alert. No sleeping on the job as bad security guards, but be at your post. for when Christ returns. It's that kind of idea that should come to mind. It's also that kind of idea that you find then that it fits very well with prayer. And this actually is one of those verses that may be very familiar to you, that Jesus, when he's in the garden, tells his disciples, you know, watch and pray. And in many ways, our spiritual battle is all about that. Watch and pray. It summarizes very well the key role, the key duty that is upon all of us as Christians. And in this light, you can see why Jesus then taught us to both watch and pray. And you find it again here. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful. The interesting thing is, how does thanksgiving fit into it? I mean, watching and praying makes sense. Striving to be ready for Christ and sticking to our calling here in this life needs to be done while relying on Jesus' strength and grace. We couldn't do it on our own. And you think about the disciples, when they were given this instruction to watch and pray, they couldn't even do that with Christ while he asked them to do it. We're not meant to do it on our own either. We trust that Jesus will help us to stand until that day when he returns. Well, that is exactly then also what makes us pray. Plus, when we are awake and we are alert and we have our eyes open, there will be many different challenges, trials, threats that we'll recognize. And as those who are awake, that will even more so bring us to pray. Think about the disciples. Again, they may look at the church and may think, God, Jesus had taught us to watch and pray. They're watching over the church. They're watching over their lives. And it leads them to pray as they face challenges. So often the pattern, many of our lives. Prayer life may go through a slump, and what kicks it back into gear is the fact that you've faced a challenge, you face a trial. It's the basic breakdown of why we so often find that pair of watching and praying together in the Bible. I think we start to see then also in which way thanksgiving fits so well with being prayerful and watchful, because both show us God's work in our lives and in the world. Praying and watching aren't just a pair that apply to when things bad things happen in our lives. They're also meant to be the pair that open up our eyes to God's activity in every way. You pray for God's blessing, that a surgery may go well, that you may do well on an interview or a test, that you may be given courage or wisdom to handle a difficult conversation, or that the results for whatever is going on may come back positively. I mean, these things may teach you about your need to pray, but often it should also be that exactly that leads into thanksgiving. Or at least they should. We may not always be as watchful as we should and overlook the times when God answers our prayers. It may even be those who go through life and often overlooking the ways in which God doesn't just answer our prayers, he even gets rid of our worries and anxieties before we've brought them before him in prayer. And how often do you have it that a worry enters your mind? You're like, I hope this doesn't happen. Don't go to God in prayer, and then yet that worry never materialized. Have your eyes open to these things. Be watchful for these things. Praying and watching should give us ample reason to give thanks. And yet if we build on that, we also see how thanksgiving can also be that which leads us to being watchful in prayer. It applies to all of us, but I think especially those who have grown in the faith, be mature in the faith, who have maybe done so over many years may attest to this. Because as we walk with the Lord in prayer through all kinds of life circumstances, new challenges, whether that be challenges or whether that be new stages of life, whatever it may be, Over the years, we found that we always have more and more reason to give thanks. More and more we see His grace and His blessing in our lives. And the more, then also we anticipate, watch in a watchful way, anticipating His care and guidance in the future. Yes, you may still have doubts. You may still have worries as you hit that new phase, as you hit the new challenge. But you might have noticed that it's, you know, those extremes aren't there anymore as they used to be. So you've gone through something similar before. You've known that the Lord provides. You know that you can be so caught up in the moment that God's grace has given you perspective. Yes, the thanksgivings in the past have given you perspective to also anticipate in a watchful way that the Lord will again give you what you need and get you through it. So now more of the thankfulness starts to color your watchfulness and prayer when you're facing something new. And that way, actually, our thanksgiving is that which makes our watching hopeful. Together, watching and being thankful give us reason to hope. As always, hope in a biblical sense. Not like, well, I hope things are going to happen, or it's the last, you know, hope in a way. You know, as in that confidence, that boldness, that being grounded in God's promises for us through Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving helps us to be watchful because we're expecting to see God work through our prayers. It colors our watching by providing us hope. And I mean, Scripture gives us many examples of this. I think even the prayer that Paul had for the Colossians seems to even be along these lines. And he read through it, and he has this incredible vision for the congregation, that they would continue to grow in knowledge and in bearing fruit in all these different ways as a congregation. I always appreciate those beginnings to these letters. Do you know how easily, you know, Paul is watchful, he's alert, and he knows like all of the troubles going on in these congregations. He's going to address them in the letter. But that's not where he starts. Sure, the Colossians have struggles with false teachers. Yes, they also need the encouragement to continue to run the race. But he has a vision that he shares in his prayers for the congregation. They may grow spiritually. This is a gospel that's just spreading and growing as it had been among them. And God being thanked for the wonderful riches of His grace. How do you think He got such a vision? Yes, inspired by the Holy Spirit. But what does the Spirit do? Well, it makes Him start with thanksgiving. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Every prayer he had for the Colossians, it started with thanksgiving. His watching wasn't just note the challenges the congregation faced or the threats that would cause more work for him, but the growth that is showing as well. So apply that to your own life. Consider the things you pray for and how the Lord has answered. Be watchful also in that. Don't just be watchful to think, now, what is the next trial? What's the next challenge? What's the next thing that the Lord puts on my plate that I have to deal with? Be watchful for God's answer and the way that He has worked in all of your other previous prayers. Take time to take stock also of your life, to grow, see the growth that you find in faith in your own lives or in the people around you. Now, as parents, you pray for your children. You're probably watchful and you're like, there's so many challenges they have to face as well. Also take the time to not just pray and watch, but to give thanks for the things that you see developing in their lives. The ways and way the Lord has kept them and kept you. I always think that, you know, there's been many Christians that may come into the habit of using prayer journals. Maybe that's exactly the one thing that kind of hits all three of these. If you want it to be devoted in prayer and being watchful and thankful, I mean, if you try to do a prayer journal well, that's kind of what would happen. encourages you to pray, continues to be watchful for all the different needs, but also encourages you to be thankful for all the ways in which God has been answering prayers, in which ways you can maybe scrap things off of your list as you go along, or turn back to last year and realize, like, this is what I was praying for, and look what the Lord has done. Don't think prayer journals are for everyone, but if we don't do them, find other ways to keep on doing these same things, to be devoted in prayer, to be watchful and to be thankful. Take time to take stock of the ways in which God has answered your prayers. Try to make it a habit that when good things happen, surprisingly, or according to prayer, that your immediate response would be thanksgiving. And this is so important for all of us. Because so far we've been dealing with the fact that we can be watchful, seeing in the world, seeing what God is doing. Could be watchful by looking at the world and seeing what things that we have to be aware of as Christians, perhaps threats as we stand on guard, things that require prayer. It's easy maybe to watch those things. But I have one more question. Do you also watch your heart? Maybe watch the world. You have your eyes on what God is doing. Do you also, in the meantime, watch your heart? Are you alert and aware of what goes on in it? Would you say that you watch over it also with that hopeful thanksgiving? So you may say that the hope or peace of God reigns there so that bitterness and ingratitude cannot take root. Going to guess that your answer is, yes, of course, I watch over my heart. You probably do so when you are thankful or on like a day like today, because you like Thanksgiving this weekend. Let's take stock. Let's be aware. Let's count our blessings. I'm more interested in all those other moments during the day or during the year when you're not as alert and not as focused what goes on in your heart. How often do you have days where you just start off perhaps thankful, but then as soon as work begins, or if you just start taking care of the kids, you know, our heart's course is instead of going to thankfulness, it's like focusing onto the cause of our irritation. So we're not always that watchful when it comes to our own hearts, when it comes to our minds. In fact, I'll make it even a little bit different. How often are you end up being frustrated or irritated or maybe even bitter about things that actually you would have thanked the Lord at one point in time? If you had a prayer journal, you would go back and say, like, I was thanking the Lord because I'm married, I have a spouse, kids. But now they're not so quickly a cause for giving thanks. Flip back and you realize, like, oh, look, I was praying the Lord that he may bless my work, that the company may grow, that I may have some more responsibilities here or there. But now, whenever you have a bit of quiet time, you realize that your heart bends towards the prayer of, Lord, could you just give me a simpler life? And in all of that, you wonder, like, what should I be thanking the Lord for? You maybe wonder, when did the bitterness or irritation start? Maybe did it start when you stopped also giving thanks? Do you watch your heart with that hopeful thanksgiving? So when we start looking at our heart, we realize that, you know, thanksgiving in the Bible isn't just about a day in the year to count all of your blessings, or even an action that you just do repeatedly, or some words that you may say when you come to the Lord in prayer. I mean, we may be tempted to today think like, yes, we'll be thankful just because we've received those things that we've asked for and the Lord had been so good to us. But it is far more complicated than that, because often when the Lord does give us even the circumstances we've asked for, it still isn't enough. It still doesn't protect our heart. It's why the Bible is always so clear and so radical about how deep ingratitude goes and how severe it is. I mean, in fact, Scripture highlights that where humanity really goes wrong is in our ingratitude. Read Romans 1:21. Fallen humanity under God's the revelation of his judgment, saying, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." From there, it goes right into what it means to be idolatrous. The heart of sin, not giving glory to God and thanking him. Why? Why such a focus on ingratitude? Well, because it embraces the lie that we are somehow independent of God and spiritually self-sufficient. We receive his gifts as our own work. We find the same thinking in our hearts, at work in our hearts, whenever we fail to give thanks. Or when we stop giving thanks, and bitterness and ingratitude start to take hold. What that alerts us to, makes us watchful for, is the fact that sin and ingratitude goes deep. And for that same reason, thanksgiving also has to go deep. It needs to be more in order to guard our hearts and to make us devoted to prayer. In Scripture, in the letter of Colossians, as an example, thanksgiving isn't just about saying thank you or putting that into a prayer or a song of praise. But it always has that connotation of coming under the lordship of Jesus Christ. This is why then it also says that you can do everything in your life with giving thanks to him. It's because you do it under that umbrella of Jesus Christ as Lord and King. Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." In life, everything happens under that reign of Christ. So that thanksgiving is that heart of worship. It truly is that supreme act of worshiping the Lord for who he is and what he has done. It's not just about having thanksgiving as an action to guard our hearts and our mind, but going from watching the world and our hearts back to having our eyes opened to the glory of Christ. So this is what our God teaches us also then through those opening verses that we've read. Know what Paul does. He gives thanks for every time he thinks and prays for the Colossians. He goes from thanksgiving as the growth and maturity that he prays for the Colossians, to the reason for giving thanks, which is giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. God's great rescue through his Son, Jesus Christ, where God freely, and for nothing that we have done, no part of our own, transferred us from the kingdom of darkness under his lordship into the kingdom of light with the redemption, through the redemption of his Son. Start there. And if that sounds too simple, because you're still struggling to give thanks because of your circumstances not being what you want them to be, or because ingratitude may have taken hold of your heart, keep on building on that truth. Because in Colossians, that's exactly what Paul then does. He's like, this is the Son, this is his kingdom. Well, let me tell you about the excellency and the supremacy of Jesus Christ, who through all things were created, who is now recreating all things, who has shed his blood for your sins, so that you may appear before God without even blameless and without any accusation. His thanksgiving comes from a heart that has been captured by this glorious Savior. And so consider this morning for your own hearts, that as you watch over it, where does your thanksgiving come from? What is its origin? Would you say, I am thankful, Lord, because you've given me the circumstances I had hoped for? Or, Lord, I am thankful because you've heard my prayer and given me those things that I've asked for? Or does it go deeper? Does it go to a faith that finds all that you need, regardless of what the circumstances, regardless of how he has answered your prayer? A faith that finds all in a great Savior, under the lordship of one who has placed you in his kingdom. Thanksgiving that is about worship and confessing our dependence in everything on God. For it is when Jesus Christ becomes supreme in our life and in our hearts that then thanksgiving may take on that broad sense of worship. It's for that reason also that thanksgiving can be forward-looking. As these scholars look at this verse, like Colossians 4:2, and they say, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And they say, prayer and watchfulness, that makes sense. It's forward-looking. That's what Jesus said. You know, I'm going to come back until that day. Be in prayer. Be watching. It's forward-looking. But then they scratch their head and they're like, but what about thankfulness? How does that fit in? Because thankfulness, usually we think about it, it's backward looking. Like, this happened, now you can be thankful. Scholars often make things way too complicated anyways. I think every kid here understands this. Right, boys and girls? If your parents today said, you know, as a gift, we're going to do an amazing trip come Christmas time or in January, it's going to be Disneyland or something more warm. Take your pick. Whatever you'd really, really want. How would you react? Would you be like, well, Mom and Dad, I can't be thankful because this is forward-looking? I don't think so. And I don't think that would go over well either. No, you would. I would imagine that you would respond with thanksgiving and excitement. Is it a long way away? Yeah, perhaps. It may even be next year sometime that's going to take place. Would you wait with saying thankful until then? No, you may forget in your excitement, but it's there as you ask questions and as you jump around the room. Such news will likely even make you count down the days at some point. See how that even did? It makes you watchful and thankful. And if that is our response to good news in this life, then how much more this anticipation of Christ return. That it would give us reason to pray, to be watchful and alert, and to be thankful. And to have those three set the tone for our worship and for our life. Not just for when that Savior appears, but today and every day. Amen.